pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
You are about to listen to I Told You So, the world's greatest relationship podcast, hosted by Tiffany and Jeff, two people in the healthiest relationship of all time.
Join our power couple as we explore the ups and downs of love, offering you the tools you need to navigate the relationship scene with charm, humor, and grace.
Welcome to I Told You So, where love is our business.
And laughter is our secret weapon.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's not morning, but that's how we start. Huh?
That's how we start. By golly.
It works.
It does.
It still feels like morning, even though it's afternoon.
It does, because nothing's really happened other than what we were doing this morning.
Yeah.
And that continues through. That's why when I go to work and sun's up and then I leave work and the sun's down, it feels like time has passed.
Yeah.
But now, since daylight savings rolled in, I go to work with the sun up. I leave with the sun right in my fucking eyes the entire drive home, you know? And it feels as though the time I spent should have felt shorter.
Sure.
But it doesn't.
No.
In fact, I believe it makes it longer, knowing I'm going to have to drive home in that sunlight.
In the sun, yeah.
Yeah, it makes me drag my feet when I'm doing everything at the end of the day, just to see if for any reason I can get that. Because Utah built all their roads on a north-south, east-west axis.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's in the morning, you're driving into the sunrise.
Yes.
Thankfully, depending on where you are in the valley, there's mountains blocking that until about 9:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
When you're headed home, the mountains are further away, and you're just staring right into the goddamn orb.
Yeah.
It's awful. I hate it. Hey, because I don't do bright light in the first place.
No.
And so those drive homes make sure that I arrive home with a nice little compact migraine.
The big headache.
Yep.
Already exhausted from your long day.
Yeah.
It's rough, babe. I'm sorry.
My work's not hard. It's tedious.
Yeah.
You know, it's time filling. But for the most part, I sell comic books to people. It's not a hard job. I've had more difficult jobs. But that drive home, I just can't stand it. So let's catch up.
Okay.
We missed last week. I believe that was my fault.
Was it?
Well, you've been having some medical issues.
Yes. But I feel so much better now.
Yeah. It is. You are feeling better.
Yeah.
And you're not seizing near as often.
No, I'm 10 days seizure free. It's amazing what seizure medicine can do.
Yeah. And I'm a little upset that none of the docs we talked to about your seizures before the neurologist were like, how about you try some anti-seizure medicine? Just the douchebag from the emergency room that's like, it's just stress.
I know.
Here's some Xanax. It's just stress. I want to go visit him now, fucker.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm mad at him.
I remember this was so long ago, like 20 years ago. I went into an ER with horrible pain in my back, I always think it's a kidney stone, I just assume. They did some tests and said the ER doc was a jerk. He was just mean. He said that it was in my head and I was just wanting attention and there was nothing wrong with me. My mom brought me back up to Salt Lake. I was in Cedar City and took me to an ER up here, and I was in ICU with pneumonia.
Yikes.
So yeah, ER doctors can be terrible.
Yep. Yep, they can. I've had pneumonia.
Have you?
Yeah. I was looking for work. It was early 90s. I was out in Denver and ended up doing some work for a door-to-door advocacy thing. Clean Water Action, they were called. Clean Water Action. Hello, I'm Jeff from Clean Water Action. You know, we're going door-to-door today for blah, blah, blah to get you to sign a petition to blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that we have clean water.
That's a fun job.
If you'd care to make a donation, which was what we were there for.
Oh.
You know, here's the form, yada, yada. I did it for 3 days. It was cold and wintry.
Mm-hmm.
And I just woke up one morning with pneumonia and you know, called in. I said, I am sick. I don't know what's wrong with me. And they're like, you are fired. And I'm like, okay.
For you to call in sick is a big deal, too.
Yeah. And so one of my roommates ended up dragging me off to the ER. And the ER doc's like, you have pneumonia. And I'm like, what do I do about that? And he's like, go to sleep.
Aww.
There's, what are you going to do? You got to get better. Here's this, here's that, here's the other. Go home, go to bed. Don't get up until you don't feel like shit anymore.
Yeah.
I'm obviously paraphrasing.
Of course.
Yeah. And so I did that. And then I ended up with another 3-day job after at the IHOP on Colfax Avenue. I went in to be an server, mm-hmm. a waiter, we called them back in the day. And,
that's an old term. We don't say that anymore.
Yeah. And the manager made me basically become the bouncer for the Colfax IHOP.
Mm-hmm.
I could only work overnights, and my job was to throw drunks out.
Oh, my God. Was there a big problem with that?
Oh, it was a huge problem. Colfax is the longest commercial bypass on any freeway in the United States of America.
Mm.
It is the longest fucking road that is... that is considered, you know, like when you go up to a small town and it's like, hey, you know, bypass, and you can go hit this gas station and this historical site, and then you connect back up to the freeway on the other end.
Yeah.
It's like that, but it's the longest in America.
Huh.
A lot of it is, I got mugged there. Mm. I got mugged on Colfax.
My God.
I got stabbed on Colfax.
Where?
Right here.
Ow.
I'll show it to you. You haven't seen it? I guess the lights are
on. Yeah, show it to me right now.
Maybe later. I'll show it to you.
Okay.
I'm not undressing right now. Colfax is just bad news. And so this particular Colfax is in a particularly rough part of town. I wanted to be a waiter to make tips. Bouncers don't make tips, ever.
Mm.
The girls don't pay out tips at the IHOP. Neither does anybody else. And so I basically was there to get beat up for $7 an hour.
Yeah.
And I did it. I think my middle of my third night, I talked to the manager. I'm like, am I ever going to work the floor? Am I ever going to be a waiter? He's like, no, I like what you're doing right now. I was like, oh, okay. Here's my apron.
I'm done.
I'm out of here. You know, I make $20 an hour to be a bouncer. And I was trying to get out of that particular part of my life
mm-hmm.
and to get away from being a bouncer for a while. That's why I was trying to be a waiter, as I figured that the numbers would match up.
You'd be a great server.
I'm not. I'm terrible at it.
Really?
You're
so friendly. People would love you and tip you really well.
They didn't. Because
it's IHOP.
As a server, no, I've been a server other places.
Oh.
You don't work in the fields I work at and avoid restaurant work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially politics when you're going through those dead months after November.
Been there.
The thing that I would say when I came up to a table was, hi, my name's Jeff. I'm your server this evening. I'm really shitty at it. I'm so sorry when I screw up your order. Just be nice and we'll all get through this together. And then I would.
I remember serving. Those were rough times.
Yeah. Like,
not easy job.
It's not. And because there will always be somebody above you mm-hmm. with a weird fucking power trip that thinks that being an assistant manager at a restaurant is the be-all, end-all of authority. and they will cause problems.
There's always one.
Yeah, there's always one. So I'm not sure where the hell I was going with this. Was I going anywhere with this?
I don't know. You were just talking about your server time as a server.
Yeah. I don't know why. Hmm. I guess I could rewind and listen, but that would just be silly. So anyway, so you've been under the weather now for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like we're coming out of that.
Yes.
Which is fantastic.
Oh, I'm so happy.
And just as you're coming out, my body decides it needs to pass a kidney stone.
Yeah.
Probably two. It feels like. Because I had all the discomfort of passing a stone,
mm-hmm.
but I still have the pain of having the stone before it passed.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking there's two, or I have a kidney infection.
Yeah, or it just did some damage.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah. You would know.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
It's not. It's all miserable.
It is miserable. But I'm fine. I'll be fine.
You're tough.
No, it was weird. I got time off work. That was new different. I really enjoyed that. I mean, as much as you can enjoy laying in bed going, I don't feel good.
I have to pee.
I have to pee and it hurts to pee.
It hurts so bad.
Yeah, it hurts really bad right now. And anyway, so that's where we are with that.
Mm-hmm.
So health-wise, we took the week off of recording because I usually record on Sundays. And yesterday, I just felt like garbage.
You did.
You know. So this will drop on Tuesday in between the normal two shows of Monday and Wednesday.
Oh, I thought we dropped on Friday.
We usually do.
Oh.
The last two times we dropped on a Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Or a Thursday and once on a Tuesday. I don't know.
I like Tuesdays.
It's a little willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friday seems so far away from when we record.
Yeah.
That it's challenging.
It is a little challenging, but I've made a calendar, and we're going to figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah. So, very, very close friend of ours, of whom we're inordinately fond, brought up the idea for this week's show.
Yes.
On, I believe, okay, so the pitch was, is, you know, what is a high value man? What is a high value woman? How do they work together?
This trending, right?
Yeah. And so I went online and started looking around, and this just could be perhaps the filter through which this person wrote how to be a high value man. And then we have a different article for the 11 traits of a high value woman. So I want to kind of cover.
This is going to be cringy, right?
I think so.
Okay.
And I don't mean it to be. But like I said, this is what I came up with. But this person who wrote this article just doesn't like dudes. And I get it. There's nothing about us to like. There's really not. So let's just get into it.
Okay.
What actually makes a man high value, asks the article. Some attributes are unique to each woman, since, shocker, women are individual human beings who don't all want the same thing. Okay, talk down to me. That's really going to make us grow here, you know? So let's look at the two things manosphere losers value most. Being a protector and a provider. Okay. This is what they really mean to a high-value man. Being a provider does not just mean earning money, since in a capitalist society, this is something literally everyone has to do. Your job is not impressive magic. No one cares. Having a job does not entitle you to control a woman either. This lady's mad at me, and she's never met me, is what I'm saying.
It's like the same people who did that podcast have written this for you.
Yeah. If you expect your partner to stay home and tend to the house, you must meet all of the following criteria to be a provider. You must not financially control her or deny her access to basic needs or simple luxuries. Fuck, no. Why would you do that? Anybody that would do that is a douche.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that.
No.
No. Besides, you make more money than I do. Her financial quality of life must be better than it was when she was single. You must be able to give her more than she can give herself. Well, that doesn't sound empowering. Does it?
No.
No. You must be able to financially support all of your children's needs. This includes therapy. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, she doesn't even mention food. It includes therapy, quality childcare, enriching lessons, and anything else that pops up. You know, like food. If you cannot or will not do these things, you're not contributing and substantive value. But what if you're not a regressive loser? And you don't think the only acceptable relationships involve staying at home wives? I don't. I never have. You know, I've always wanted to be a stay at home wife. I absolutely have. Well, being a provider is about more than money. To be a high value man, regardless of whether your spouse works, you must also provide all of the following. You must listen and meet her needs. Don't even think about skipping Mother's Day because you're not my mother. Okay, that one's personal. You've let that one just sneak right out. You must fully support and participate in the lives of your children. If she gets less downtime than you, then you bring zero value to her life.
Wow.
Okay. You must provide her with a quality sex life that involves more than pumping and dumping.
Yeah, this lady is angry.
Yeah. Do I do that? I don't do that.
No.
No, would you say quality? Would quality be okay? Can we work on that?
Work on what?
You're getting laid. Am I doing a good job
yes,
or not?
Yes, you're doing a great
Thank
job.
Thank you. Don't leave that hanging out. Jeez. Oh, that was rough. You must provide her with an emotionally and physically safe environment. That's fair. You must provide your children with high quality parenting. That means more than just half-assing it for 10 minutes a day. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And I have been guilty. I have been guilty on that one. While I was doing the first couple of things she's mad at me about, mm-hmm. That caused me to do another thing she's mad at me about. And that was, I was working 16 to 18 hours a day.
Yeah.
For about 8 years. And all of it was is you don't do anything. And it's like, well, I'm paying for everything.
Yeah.
And I have to work 18 hours a day to bring in that income.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you like me to find the time? Where would you like this break to come? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, she was going through some stuff, you know, and that's her story. So I'll let her tell it. I'll tell you after.
Okay.
You know, but things were pretty tense. But
sounds
I did.
Like
no,
it.
I have been a half-assed parent off and on my entire career as a parent.
It's so hard to be a parent.
It never
gets easier, too. No. The older your kids get. I always thought that it would just get easier, and it doesn't.
No, I'd like to think that my parents think I'm easier than I was. I don't ask for shit anymore.
Yeah.
I don't borrow the car anymore. I don't need money from them anymore. Though, if they're listening and would like to give some, all
feel
donations
free.
Are appreciated. Join Patreon. Patreon.com/DFNmedia.
Do not want your mother on Patreon.
Yeah, me either. That's all right. She wouldn't be able to figure it out. You must not trash your shared home by constantly making a mess, breaking her things, or otherwise making your home life less bliss.
So weird, this article.
How much shit do I break? Only on accident because I'm giant and clumsy. And I don't think I break
you
all
don't
that much.
Break stuff.
No, I break me.
Yeah, you do.
But like you said, I fall down in slow motion, but I still hit it full speed.
And you bounce.
That's just because I'm fat.
No, it's just because you fall from such a high height that you just bounce a few times.
You must provide more domestic labor than she would have access to as a single person. You must provide her with meaningful companionship and with the reinsurance that you always have her back. Do you feel, do I do that?
You always have
okay?
my back.
Well, I know. I just want to know if you know that.
I do.
Let's see. She finishes off with most men can't clear a single one of these bars and then wonder why their wives are so eager to leave them. I cleared several of those bars
mm-hmm.
with inches to spare.
You are a high value man.
Am I?
Yes.
Well, I am right now.
You're the only man I want.
Yep. Being a protector does not mean having a gun and fists. If you have to actually, you know, protect your partner. This means offering them the protection they want and need, not jealously guarding them from other relationships as if you are a petulant 5-year-old. I happen to agree with that.
You do agree with
that. Even though
well.
She's still mad at me after I did so well on the first half of this. Good protectors. They set clear boundaries with friends and family to prevent mistreatment of their partner. Fair.
I like that.
They prioritize their partner over all other people. Do I do that, don't I?
Yeah.
Okay. Unless it's Braxton.
Yeah, but we love Braxton.
Yeah, Braxton is different. They never mistreat their children or their partner. I don't believe that I have mistreated my children in any way other than unintentional neglect where I'm just working all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now they're old and they don't really give a shit. It's all cats in the cradle. Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue, Man in the Moon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
When are we going to get together, Dad?
I don't know.
I'm busy working. Somebody's got to feed
it's
your ass.
It's a sad song.
It is a sad song. I hate that song. Makes me want to take my dad fishing. They protect their partner from misogyny by working on their own internalized beliefs. Am I misogynistic? Only when I'm being funny.
So funny.
Like
it's
the window.
So funny when you're like that.
Like the window. When
your
you can't get the window
muscles.
Open and I have to bring my big man arms over.
One, I can open the window. I choose not to from the angle. If I wanted to open the window, I could myself. And that's the truth.
I believe you.
Good.
And would like to see that as soon as we're done recording.
Me opening the window?
Yeah.
I can totally open the window.
I believe you. And I still want to see it.
Okay, I'm going to show you.
Let's see. They nurture a safe and happy home life that acts as a respite from the rest of the world.
That's a big one for me.
Do you feel safe here?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yelling, like I'm not a big fan of yelling and I just want the energy in my house to be good for my kids, for me, for everyone.
I had one of my kids over the other day and came to a realization when I needed a question. I needed you to answer a question. And so I pulled out my phone and I texted you. And you were just down the hall. And Matthias said, why don't you just yell? And I'm like, we don't yell around here. You know?
Yeah.
We yell at the dogs. That's about
it. That's
true. But other than that, yeah, we don't really yell around here.
That's different for you, huh?
It's hugely different. And I'm not used to it. And I don't, I know somewhere deep inside me, I'm building up a pressure cooker, you know?
Oh, God.
No. I'll blow it off somewhere else.
I'm scared.
No, don't be. You never have to worry.
I know. I'm you never scared.
But that little motherfucker yells at the kid again.
Yeah.
You know, the neighbor who yelled at Brinley.
Yeah.
I'll tear his fucking head off.
I know.
Because I've got some pent-up energy I need to release.
I'll let you.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. And that, in and of itself, also wildly misogynistic. But that's where I come from.
Yeah.
I come from the punch your problems generation.
Mm-hmm. You do. You stopped that, though.
I have stopped that.
Got to stay out of jail.
Got to stay out of jail. So the 11 traits of a high-value woman. What is a high-value woman? High-value woman is a term for women to use about themselves that defines the high value they place on who they are. It's not a term for others to place upon them or to determine the worth through societal expectations or gender stereotypes. All right. Let's see. The term is not a placeholder to describe woman's value to others. Although her attributes may be beneficial and sought out by others, high value expresses a high self-esteem and a desire to better oneself and understand one's own value before seeking others. Note that a high value woman can have any sexual orientation and does not refer to the value a man places on a woman. That should never matter. Let's be honest. You know?
Mm-hmm.
No. What? I know you care what I think. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think you should.
To a point, I care.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things like that I would do anyway.
Yeah.
Or I would wear anyway, or I would, you know, maybe.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But I don't. I'm not doing hashtag not all men right now, because I'm not. What I'm saying is it's everybody but me. So, which is far healthier.
You sure?
But I mean, that's really it is, and it's working out well for us so far. It did butt heads a few times in my previous marriage. When I don't know, I'm trying to think of a way to explain this without telling somebody else's story that they deserve to tell. So instead of that, I'm just going to move on. Knowing your worth. Know your worth. Knowing your worth can be a trait of assigning a high value to yourself. Self-worth can come from many places. Feeling valuable outside of a relationship is one way a woman might feel this way. For many, only feeling worthy by being romantically or sexually desirable is a trait of low self-esteem and could indicate an underlying mental health concern. Feeling valuable no matter how others see you can showcase self-respect and mental health.
Hmm.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Till it hits delusion. Because you know what? Not all women are sweetness and light. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did know that.
They're not all puppy dog tails.
No.
No. Self-love. A high-value woman may feel positive about her body, personality, and intelligence. Setting high standards for your relationships, career, and life path can be one way to showcase your self-love and belief in yourself. In relationships, if someone treats you unkindly or without love, your self-love may help you know when it would benefit you to leave. Often, those with self-love seek out other individuals who consider themselves high value for a healthy relationship dynamic. Kind and compassionate. You are. You pretend you're not, but you are.
Okay.
Yeah, you really are.
Okay. I believe you.
You want to fight? No?
Okay. I used all my muscles opening the window.
You suck. Yeah, a high value woman often knows the value and connectedness of living beings. She is present with all and treats those around her with a gentle, loving kindness. She may treat animals with care and show empathy to those struggling. All her relationships may be based on a healthy respect for others. How you doing on kind and compassionate, do you think?
I don't know.
I think you're doing great.
Working on it.
I think you're doing great. No, that is, I think that's always a work in progress.
Yeah.
You know, because you do. I get folks in the shop from time to time that I will judge silently in the back of my mind.
Sure.
You know, much like from Dark Knight Rises, you know, and there's Scarecrow mm-hmm. at the desk. That's the trial going on in my head. It's kind of a dick-ass trial. But no, I will. I'll be judgy. And every once in a while, I'll get that reversed.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have a chat somewhere in there. And I'm like, oh, I read that wrong.
Yep.
Not very often, but often.
Yeah.
Often enough, I've noticed it.
You taught me that. I've learned so much. I learned that from you.
I don't know.
Treating people with kindness. Yes. You taught me that when... During a campaign, I watched people walk in and you were so busy and you had so much to do. And I expected you to like push them away and be like, I'm busy and later. And you always took time. You always listened, made sure people had what they need. You always took time for people.
I try.
You do.
I don't think I always did. There were a couple people that were on my nerves that I was probably not as kind to as I should have been, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll be honest about that. I do have a temper, you know. I may not punch people anymore, but I could still yell when I'm really in a mood.
You love to punch the table.
I do punch the table. I don't know why. I don't know where that came from. I didn't get it from either of my parents. None of my friends do it. But for some reason, smacking a fucking table just seems to be a calming, reassuring action when I'm talking.
Mm-hmm.
And you've taken that away from me. You've stolen that from me.
I'm sorry.
Because it hurts your ears in the earphones when I pound on the table.
I think it hurts everybody's ears when you pound on the table.
Nope. I make sure of it.
How do you know?
I can tell. See right here?
Yeah.
The waveform?
Yeah.
If it's going to hurt somebody, it'll go all the way to the top and the bottom. See? That's all I'm saying. Commitment to growth. You might consider yourself a high-value woman if you value personal growth and strive to be the best version of yourself every day. You might believe in being well-rounded and pursuing wholehearted living with passion, always moving forward.
This is such a different list than the man's version.
Do you want to go back to the man's version?
Well, no, I'm just saying like...
Call me a Neanderthal, knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing.
It's so different. It's not written by the same people, right?
Obviously not.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I can't find that. I can't find both in the same article,
mm-hmm.
which is really what I was looking for. So I'll keep looking. We'll probably touch on this one again.
Yeah.
Especially if it's trending. That means people are going to want to hear about it. Let's see. Self-aware and empathetic. High value woman can be aware of how her thoughts, words, and behaviors affect others. She may understand how you speak and communicate with others can significantly impact what's being said. In addition, she may possess emotional intelligence and respect her feelings and thoughts without judgment. You do that. You do that very well, and you have helped me be better at it as well. Do you want me to explain?
Yeah.
Okay. So you are with people. You're very aware of what you do and what you say around almost everybody. And it's one of the reasons we don't yell at the house, you know, is because you don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped, you know, because you don't like it.
Yeah.
And I recognize, especially because we don't yell, how unhealthy the yelling was,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though I knew at the time that it was bad, you know, I didn't know it was bad.
Yeah.
It always made me feel a little lighter to get the pressure cooker, get some of that steam off.
Yeah.
But that's bad.
Yeah, it's not. It's not good.
Nope. It's also bad when you got kids in the house.
Yes.
They don't need to hear that.
No.
My kids did. They heard it all the time.
Yeah.
I feel fucking awful about it.
I was in a house that they were fighting. I hated it.
Yeah. It's no fun.
No.
It's no fun. But yeah, your empathy is one of your qualities that I just really, really am attracted to.
Thanks, babe.
Of course. Thank you for being so empathetic. Mm-hmm. And apropos of nothing whatsoever, I am now craving empanadas.
What?
Empathetic empanadas. Oh. And they start with the same letters. This is how my brain works. Do you not know what a chaos machine
now
is going on?
Now I want arempas.
Ah, arempas.
Uh-huh.
I love that place.
Me too.
Maturity. All right, we may have found one you don't. Anyway.
I'm so young, I'm not mature yet.
Oh, turned that one right back around, didn't you? That's what you did. That's fine. That's fine. I can
when
take
I'm
it.
Your age, I'll be more mature.
Fuck off. Fuck off. Ugh. I mean, I'm already feeling old. Maturity.
I gave you my Flomax.
Yeah, you
can't
did.
Feel that old when I gave you my Flomax, my old man medicine.
I wouldn't. I'm not. The kidney stones, per se, are not why I feel old. Hmm. The fact that it's taking me so long to recover, that's what's making me feel old. You know?
Yeah.
As I passed this stone days ago. It still fucking hurts, which is why I think there's another one in there, mm-hmm. all loaded up and ready to go, you know, because the first stone did its damage on the way out, but that's mostly cleared up. It's just now uncomfortable.
Right.
Dudes, if you know, and ladies,
yes.
But if you know, if you've passed a kidney stone, you know what I'm talking about right now. And I am not going to go into graphic detail about how much it hurts to pee.
Razor blades.
Oh, no, something dull, something dull and grabby. Razor blades, psh, I cut myself with razor blades all the time, and I barely feel it. No, this is felt. This is like dragging a tumbleweed through a urethra. That's what this feels like.
Yeah.
Maturity. A high value, I'm so sorry, we're going to come back to this. A high value woman may feel mature and understand her place in the world without feeling the need to one-up others or gain reassurance to feel valuable. Instead of partaking in behaviors that may hurt herself or others, she may dedicate herself to self-care, healthy lifestyle changes, and seeking support when needed.
I think that comes with, I mean, it is at maturity, but like yeah. age as well, you know, you learn that to take care of yourself and to that self-love.
Yep.
As you get older.
Openness. You might be someone who feels open about your thoughts and feelings. I hope that between the two of us, we feel that way.
I do.
I am more open with you than I have been with anybody ever in my life. Mm-hmm. And that is the truth, including Braxton. And I tell Aww. Stuff to Braxton. I should absolutely not tell Braxton. You know what I mean? Passion. Living a life aligned with one's purpose, goals, and values can show passion. If you identify as a high-value woman, you may seek pursuits that make you feel more passionate, excited, and happy. I'd put your painting down into this. Sometimes your reading,
mm-hmm.
sometimes even your television watching,
mm-hmm.
you know, tends to follow sort of a what I make fun of as the woman in peril.
Yes, you do.
Content of your absorption.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I think that you're like that is because you are passionate about women overcoming oppression.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that works out really well. I like it. I like to watch it. I like to watch you get all worked up, get it riled up, stuff Thanks. Like that. I still don't want to go to fucking Afghanistan.
I do.
I know you do.
But you'd go with me if I could. Right?
I would not let you go alone. That is the truth.
Okay.
You know, that I will end up in an Afghan prison.
We
won't.
You know,
because someone called you an infidel bitch.
It will be fine.
You're not going to be the one in prison. Granted, they'll probably stone you to death, but think about me.
I am.
Okay. Class. Classiness may have a different definition for each person. For many, classiness is confidence in gender expression, personality, and intelligence. For others, it may mean being honest, trustworthy, and traditional. No matter how you define classiness, this trait may be one of a high-value woman. Classiness can often involve refusing to put down other women or by bullying others. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're classy as fuck.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Self-care. A high-value woman may take care of herself emotionally, spiritually, and physically. She may be committed to health by nourishing her body with water and food, or milk and Propel.
Propel.
Yeah. Presenting herself to the world in a way that makes her feel confident. She may value her downtime and place high importance on her self-care routine. She may also treat her body lovingly with care and kindness. You don't do that.
Yes, I do.
No, you do not. You do not. You will ignore symptoms of a greater problem for days.
That was the old me. This is the new high value me, and I do.
As I of to the, today?
No, as of months ago.
What happened months ago?
I started going to the doctor when I needed to. I take all my medicine. I take a multivitamin.
There was a junk of time in the middle there where you weren't taking any pills at all. So don't blow smoke up my ass, Missy.
I'm just saying, now we're in the present.
Now that we're in the present, I can see a work in action.
Yeah.
I could see a work in progress.
It's progress.
Your self-care is progress. But yeah. It's honestly, if there were on this entire list, this is the first one that comes up where I'm like, this is something you could work on.
I should go get my nails done for self-care.
Okay. If it makes you happy, you should
do it. I know, but I hate spending the money because then I feel bad.
Yeah. Vulnerability. If you feel you're a high-value woman, you may know that vulnerability isn't being weak, needy, or talking too much. Vulnerability often involves being emotionally brave, even when it feels risky or scary.
That's when I text you.
Yeah?
Yeah. When I'm feeling vulnerable and I want to talk to you,
uh-huh.
It's hard for me to like
use
words.
Saying.
And so I text.
Type them.
Yeah. I text you.
It is easier to type than to talk.
Yeah.
As anybody who's read my Substack, jmbell.substack.com.
Check it out.
Yeah. Knows that, you know, I can be loquacious with a keyboard.
We've had some conversations that have been difficult that we have chosen to text
yes.
instead of have in person, because for me it gives me the opportunity to think out my thought, to think, you know,
yeah,
and put it into words.
And for me it helps that I have habits I'm still working on getting rid of, you know, including tone
mm-hmm.
and facial expression.
Same.
Because there have been several times where you have thought that I was mad about something that I wasn't mad about.
Mm-hmm.
I was like annoyed with the overall circumstance, but on a micro level between you and I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you were taking it to mean that I was mad at you. Mm-hmm. I was just mad at the situation and I was doing a piss poor job at explaining it. That's when texting helps,
yeah.
I think, quite a bit.
I agree.
Yeah. Let's see. Being vulnerable can mean allowing yourself to be transparent and authentic with the people you love and giving them the space to do the same. Instead of allowing fear to drive your decisions in relationships, you may rather risk disappointment or fear to achieve connection, intimacy, and trust. So there you go. And then basically it's a 3-paragraph wrap up for why you should be going to therapy. Which I think is a great idea. So that really does. What is this other one? This is from Liberating Motherhood, the one on men.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a high-value man? In shocking news, to be high-value, you have to contribute actual value to a woman's life.
I'm sorry. I like that.
I don't mind it. I just want to know when I made her so mad at me. I didn't think I'd ever met this person.
Well, it's Liberating Motherhood. Of course they're angry and pissed off.
For some reason, and I'm reading from the article now, men have decided that they should take advice on attracting women from a dead, divorced dude, a failed rapper, and a criminal who allegedly needs to rape women and keep them captive in order to get them to be with him. They joyfully swallow these men's emissions while ignoring the input of the women all around them. To incels, red pillars, and manosphere blowhards, the experts on what makes men attractive are men. It's clear to me that homoeroticism, that desperately seeking the approval of men, are both at the center of this bizarre movement. I don't like this movement. I'll be honest with you. I've watched this whole alpha male bullshit go on. I've been that guy where, I mean, for years as a bodyguard and as a bouncer, you know, even as a bartender some nights, where it's like, I've had enough. It's time to punch my problems, you know, because I was the biggest, scariest, meanest dude in the room. And so I would go ahead and I would fulfill that destiny and act like it to the point that, you know, one of my best friends says that I'm the scariest guy he's ever met. That fucking hurts. I don't want to be that. And that he thinks that of me stings a little bit. There's the other half of me that's like, fuck yeah, I'm the baddest motherfucker you've ever met.
That's where I thought you were going with it.
No, but I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. And this is the change that's come over the last couple of years, I think. You know, I would rather be Ted Lasso than John Wayne. I'll be honest with you. You know, it feels better to not be mad all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I am mad all the time. That's why The Left Show has gone 12 fucking years and 640 episodes is I'm in a bad mood about stuff.
It's a good outlet for you, though.
It is a grand outlet for me. It is much better than working at a bar.
I think that's why I've stayed off of TikTok. I mean, I enjoy TikTok, the fun videos on TikTok, but I don't like the drama. I don't like the alpha male stuff. I don't want to hear it. It doesn't make me feel good. Why do I want it in my life? Why do I want to hear it?
You need to adjust your algorithm.
Yeah.
By liking and sharing certain kinds of things.
Yeah.
Like when I first started out on TikTok, TikTok figured out rather quickly, I like
boobs.
And it showed me lots of boobs, like for weeks.
I'd be fine with boobs on my TikTok.
Boobs. And then slowly as other stuff came in and I was like, well, I will feel guilty if I like boobs. But hey, this political thing, I can click on that, you know. And now I can't get boobs on my For You page anymore.
See, I don't ever like anything on TikTok.
Oh.
I just scroll.
Maybe you've just confused it.
I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm of medium value. I'm a medium value man.
That's such bullshit.
I am the great value man. I am.
You're a name brand, babe.
Am I?
Yeah.
What's the name brand, though?
Top Shelf.
I don't think so.
I
want to be, and I'm working on it, but, I mean, you know, your high value is fuck. You're smart, you're witty, you're kind, you're compassionate, you're hot. All the good stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, I got stuff to work on still.
It's not true.
It is true. Let's take a little break. Okay. When we get back on the other side, we got a couple of letters.
I like it.
Yeah, I do like letters too. They're fun, and let's be honest with you, they're kind of easy.
Good, we like easy.
All right, be right back.
I'm Chris Jakimick. I served in the United States Air Force, and I deployed 3 times. So in 2017, I was serving as an Air Force First Sergeant. Our motto in that role is, my job is people, everyone is my business. But unfortunately, in that year, I would lose my own brother, Lance Corporal Adam Jakimick, to suicide. The majority of veteran suicides are from guns. I store my weapons securely, not only for myself, but for my family. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide. My service never stops.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Okay, couple of letters that seem to be on a theme. I don't know why.
I just saw the word.
What, masturbate?
Yes.
Husband and wife, married since 1996, both 49. Husband has recently told me that when I get him off in the morning, it's just a release. I've been doing this for many, many years. Then when I want it later in the day, I'm told to masturbate. After all these years, I'm just now hearing it's, quote, just a release. And it occurred to me that mine might be too. Is it selfish of me to want him to help get me off? I mentioned my revelation yesterday morning and just told him to think about it and when we could talk about it again later. I mentioned it again that night, and he still hasn't given me a response. I am trying to communicate. You are doing a great job at communicating. And let me tell you one thing right now, and I will tell you this, and if men get mad at me for spilling the beans on this one, they can go fuck right off. Nobody needs a fucking release from another person that they can't do themselves. It may be a release to him, but there's no reason why that's your fucking job. And if he's not reciprocating that, then he's trash. Mm-hmm. And you should get rid of him. I mean, that's really
sucks.
What it is. You know what? You're 49. You're at your sexual peak, I think.
I think it's 39. I think it's in the 30s, the late 30s.
Really?
I thought so.
But you're all done with your late 30s.
No, I'm still in my late 30s.
Okay.
It's 40, but it's a very late 39.
No. One, yeah, you should masturbate all the time. I mean, seriously, it looks fucking awesome. But two, no, there's no balance here. This is dumb, you know? It's, you just don't, it's not reasonable. It's not reasonable. And if he doesn't want to put in the work, go find somebody that would.
Yeah.
You're young yet. You still got time. Go find somebody that'll, looking for a phrase that doesn't come across as, you know, misogynistic, but tickle your bean is about as good as I can get right now.
Tickle your jelly bean.
Yeah. You should, because you know what? You deserve it, Scarlet Candle. Yes, you do. We got another letter. This one coming in from Secure Marketing 5522. My husband is looking at other naked women. I understand men wanting to look at women, but when is it too much? I've always had an insecurity about how often my husband is looking at other women online. I'm talking about half naked in lingerie or bikinis or just completely topless, sexually suggestive in some aspects. Am I ridiculous for feeling this way? Yep.
I don't think she's ridiculous for feeling that. I mean, I think that it's easy to feel when you're insecure with yourself. And if your relationship maybe isn't as secure as you'd like it, definitely that's leads to insecurity.
I have known too many relationships where one person in the relationship is like, pornography is cheating. And I don't agree.
I don't agree with that either.
Or there are some, and it's because my life is wildly heteronormative that I'm going to make the statement the way I'm going to make the statement. But I've met women, you know, I have been interested in women and then lost interest when you find out that they think that masturbation is cheating.
Yeah, that's rough.
You know, like, what the fuck else am I supposed to do in the shower? Wash?
I don't know. I mean, why else do you have a removable shower head?
Our parts don't work the same.
No.
Let's just be honest with
that. But that's why I use it.
If I were to point that shower head at the tip of my mister, there would be some serious giggling going on. First of all, my knees would buckle.
Yeah.
And I'd come collapsing to the floor and still be nowhere near completion.
Well,
it's
it works
just
for
too
me.
Much. Okay. So I'm painting a picture in my head and I can't stop, and this is your fault. Obviously, ma'am, you've talked to him about it. He's with you. And there's just too much accessibility to high quality smut these days. You know, if it makes you feel cheap and you don't like it, leave. You know, again, it really comes down to choices. Is if he's making you uncomfortable, go find someone that makes you comfortable. Mm-hmm. And if that person happens to, you know, work at a church camp and think that Megan Fox in the Transformers movie was pornography, then maybe that's where you'll be happy. You know,
it's true.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's no fucking secret. I love pornography. You know, I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I can watch it to watch it without needing to get a release.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I just want every once in a while, it's just like, oh, I wonder what naked people look like. Hey, there's some naked people. Uh-huh. That's nice. Naked people are nice. Naked ladies are nice.
I agree.
Yes. I don't know if we answered her question or not, but
find a new man. Basically, that was the answer.
Yeah. Or a woman.
Or a woman. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
As my husband and I have gotten older, this is a letter from Soft Heart 972. As my husband and I have gotten older, it seems like I want sex more and he wants it less. Is that normal? She continues saying, I'm not saying he doesn't want it, but maybe once a week. I'll be good for three or more times a week. It doesn't seem like that long ago when he wanted sex once or twice a day. I would ask you to have him talk to his primary care physician and check his testosterone levels. When my testosterone levels are low, you know, I'm not feeling it. I'm really not. But if I'm doing my every other week injection, I'm ready to go. I'm here for it.
It's hard when you're not on the same playing field. I've had that.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No, it's really not. And it probably with him is medical and age. You know, mm-hmm. According to this, he and I are close to the same age. And I got to admit, yeah, you know, there's no shame in it. I need help sometimes.
Well, and stress is a big one. I mean, I haven't felt well when I was sick and not feeling well and so stressed with work. It's just, it makes it more difficult.
Yeah. And that's it. And by the way, once a week is nothing to fucking sneeze at, ma'am. Jesus Christ. No.
I remember.
He's not in his 30s anymore.
I remember when I'd be like, we haven't had sex for so long. It's been so long. What are we going to do? And you're like, it's been 3 days.
Yeah.
We're fine.
Yeah. Oh, this, did you write this? Is this your letter?
No.
Okay. But really, I mean, that could very well be what it is. It could be a stressor.
Yeah.
It could be medical. You know, it could just be age. And with that, get him up and active. That's one thing that I have noticed is that if I get up off my ass and I move around a little bit, I am far more susceptible, you know, to the come hither looks that I am thrown from time to time. You know,
yeah.
Can't protect myself. Too tired. You know, when I'm fit, I respond. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. You know, get him up and moving around. Get him to talk to his doctor. Check his T levels. You know, seriously.
Keep communicating about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, once a week, you're getting a little older yourself. You'll see. That's all. Just keep up on your multivitamins.
I am.
Yeah. You are. I'm very proud of you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Self-care.
Self-care.
High value woman right over here.
Very classy. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
I don't.
I'd like to remind you guys that we are doing our annual fundraiser. It is running a little longer than we normally do them, mainly because of health issues here at the house. But if you pop over to theleftshow.com and just take a look at the material, click over to the GoFundMe and maybe read through what we've got there. We have had a couple of people that have qualified for some of the cool benefits that I offered in there. If I was doing a Kickstarter, they'd be stretch goals, but I'm not doing a Kickstarter because I don't know. I don't like Kickstarter very much. So if you guys can help us out over at theleftshow.com, just click on that. Let me know, you know, I'd appreciate it. You can also join us every week that we record on Patreon, patreon.com/dfenmedia. Every week, you get special content there that you just don't get anywhere else. And once it's behind the paywall, we do tend to be a little more loose.
It's so fun.
With stories and language and and topics and content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Patreon is, most of the time, worth far more than I'm asking.
Oh, definitely.
That's patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. With that said, I don't have anything else. I'm sorry that The Left Show and the world's greatest comic book podcast weren't on this week. I just was not feeling it. I could not sit in this chair.
Yeah, you needed a day.
I did need a day. But thank you for recording with me today.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay. Well, I love you.
I love you.
All right. I'll see you next week.
Okay.
I mean, I'll obviously see you before next week.
I hope so. Okay. That'd be weird.
That would be weird.